comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello, welcome to a very special episode of Nerds United. This is what we call bonus content that we're giving you for free. No Patreon involved. This is all just middle of the week episode for you. We are at an undisclosed location, definitely not sitting inside Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois, talking with owner and proprietor, Brian. Brian, it's always good to see you. Thanks for unlocking the door and letting me in.
And sneaking in the back.
Yeah. And I did it wearing a mask, too. And I came in, and I saw Tim first, and I did the little finger guns, and I said, give me all your amazing fantasy 15s. And he laughed, and he says, I don't think we have any. I said, okay, what else you got? No. This is a very difficult time for small businesses, all small businesses. But as we're going to get into in the conversation, even more so when, you know, comic book shops that can't be open but are trying to, you know, provide other avenues to get, you know, the content to, you know, customers, are being told by the main comic distributor company that, sorry, we're not going to ship anything out. When you heard that news that Diamond Distributors wasn't going to do any distributing, what was the first thought that went through your head?
Well, I know that they didn't have a choice because the printers had already shut down. Mm. Because all of the printers are out of the country. Some are in Canada, but a lot of them are overseas.
So I didn't know that. So
yeah.
All right, cool. Well, so we're all learning something here today.
So while they're having their meetings to decide what's going on, the printers have already said, okay, well, we're shut down for the foreseeable future. So that kind of made most of the decision for everybody down the line.
When everything happened, you know, when the hammer fell, so to speak, what was the first thought that went through your head? As a small business owner, as you know, and we've talked, I don't know if I'm allowed to disclose this, so tell me to edit it out after the point, but we talked, you know, just about the industry. This was a few years ago, and, you know, because I showed interest in someday having enough capital to open up a comic book store, not anywhere in this area. I dare not bring any competition to Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois. And you said, good luck. I haven't paid myself in 6 years. You know, something like that.
Not quite that bad, but pretty bad.
So, but this is, I mean, it's your passion, but it's also your livelihood. And so when you're being forced to, you know, close your doors and try to find alternative avenues to, you know, take care of your customers, because there are customers you see weekly, monthly, whenever I get off early enough to pop in after work, you know, what was the first thought that went through your head?
Well, I mean, I knew it was going to be a pause button. It's kind of funny because through all of any financial trouble that the store has had, and it has had many, many dips in trouble over the last 27 years. Prior to right now, we were actually in a pretty good place. I had set up, with a company, and we had, working capital that we were renewing every, like three times a year. And that had really fixed our cash flow, because in this business in particular, comics, not necessarily games, because we don't know a lot of games and toys, but comics, it takes a lot of $4 comics to pay $1,500 in rent, because $4 a comic isn't all coming back to us.
Sure, no, absolutely.
Because we've already paid probably at least $2 for the comic, plus another quarter for shipping per comic, plus I have to pay these guys to sell the comics. So once all that's said and done, you know, out of that $4, the store is getting 75 cents out of that $4. So that's all. You have to sell a lot of those.
We talked before we started rolling sound, you know, in just the difference in attitude between the, you know, publishers who are on your side and maybe the publishers who historically wanted to be on your side, but now because they're owned by even larger corporations, they are middle fingering, you know, trying to cut their own costs. I mean, because if Disney World and Disneyland aren't open, I don't think they care about Twilight Comics. And of course, you know, Marvel being owned by Disney and DC being owned by AT&T, which boggles the mind. I want to focus on the positives, because there are a lot of smaller publishers who are doing everything they can to bring support to local comic book shops.
So even before this started, a lot of stores were struggling with new and current comics, just as a big focus of the business. And because years ago, big named retailer in California named Brian Hibbs started a class action lawsuit against Marvel when they had their own distributorship. This was 1996-ish. And they breached contract with all of their accounts. But they were big Marvel, not any bigger than Marvel.
Right, right.
But big Marvel at the time, so they figured they could get by with it. And this guy who has, for California, a fairly small store, got up the gumption. I don't like using that word, but...
That's a good word. You could say huevos? Cojones?
Intestinal fortitude.
There you go.
And brought about a class action lawsuit and actually got every store, I think of the country, not every store in the world, but every store in the country got money back from Marvel.
Hmm.
I mean, and not an insignificant amount of money.
Right.
Which is crazy.
It's walking around money.
And so, yeah. And so more than a good steak.
Ooh. We're not Texas Roadhouse, but we're talking like Ruth's Chris Steakhouse steak.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
I know. I saw that report too.
Well, are they? I can't remember if they're one of them that's giving back the money or not. But anyway, some of them are.
Yeah, sure. No, I just.
So that started a program at Diamond Distributors called FOC, a Final Order Cutoff, or FOC. Which is a fun abbreviation because we fock the books,
mm-hmm.
or we get focked by the books, and so that's a nice little inside joke that we have.
But it is also why, you know, on social media and things like that, I'll see. Well, when you were able to order and receive shipments, I would see, hey, this book is coming out soon, but here's the deadline to place your order, because. Not that you're trying to minimize your, you know, paying too much for it. And, you know, if you can, mm-hmm. if you can assign, all right, I've got 15 people who are interested in this title, then that's 15 orders, maybe right. 16 just to have one or two on the shelf, something like that. But it kind of keeps your overhead down.
Right. So what happened back then was that caused the whole lawsuit was we ordered 2 months in advance, 2 or 3 months in advance. And that was it. As soon as we put our orders in, they're locked.
Mm-hmm.
We can't reduce that order unless, you know, you go out of business and then they can't get money from you. So if you've ordered number one, 50 copies of number one, and you get them in, well, by the time you get number one in, you've already ordered number three.
Right.
So you have to guess how many twos and threes you think you're going to sell based on...
A book you haven't sold yet.
Intuition.
Yeah.
Every single time that happens. So that's why, if you go back historically, usually number fours are under-ordered and harder to find of series because you know how many number ones you sold, and you went, oh, and you cut it more than you needed to,
right.
And that's why nobody can find number four of a bunch of series. Which is interesting.
What's your favorite number four?
Yeah, I don't know.
Perfectly acceptable.
Avengers 4, nice. Except that was bi-monthly, so. But,
I am, right here, Nerds United.
So that instituted the FOC program, which gave us a second opportunity for the big publishers to either raise or lower our orders the week before it was going to print. So 3 weeks before we would get the book. So if we ordered 50 copies of number one, we get number one and we sell 20 of the 50. Well, number two is on FOC probably the next week. And we can go, okay, well, instead of the 52s we were going to get, we'll get 25 and save that money. Well, since it's been 15, 20 years, Marvel's the worst at it then or and now. They would game the system and they'd go, okay, well, we're going to do, we're going to relaunch Avengers and we're going to put out an issue a week for 10 weeks. So now we have to order issue 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 before number one comes out and sells. So we're like, okay, that's kind of, I mean, you're gaming the system. You found a way around
right.
helping us. So we kind of, you know, there's a lot of smaller stores. There's new stores that have opened up that didn't deal with all that stuff in 96 that may have even been, you know, toddlers in 96.
I was double digits. For the record, everybody, I was 12. Wait, 96, 14. I'm bad at math.
So we've got these other companies that aren't big companies, but they're bigger names than a lot of the small press. You've got Boom Studios. Dark Horse has been around for 25 years, but they're still a small company, especially since most of their licensing stuff had been sucked back by Marvel
right.
when they got bought by Disney. And also, they had Star Wars that they lost, and they had Buffy that they lost because Joss Whedon pulled that from them. Star Wars was big enough to put them under, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
Boom Studios, we're talking to all the publishers, and we're like, hey, you know, all of this is on us. We have to guess on the number ones. And now you're doing these, you know, four issue miniseries that's weekly. And so you put all four issues on us.
I seem to recall, and correct me if I'm wrong, Death of Wolverine. Wasn't that weekly?
I can't remember if that one.
But it was only four issues, I think.
It's four or five? It may have been. I don't know if they were doing it that egregiously back then. I mean, it's just gotten worse over time.
I mean, I just remember being here for the memorial service.
Yeah, that was yeah. Fun. So we're like, you know, you gotta give us a little bit. You gotta, you know, make the stuff like 50% returnable for the first handful of issues sure. or whatever. Well, Marvel, of course, doesn't even respond to it because they don't want to. They'll defeat the whole purpose of them doing what they're doing. So these smaller companies step up and they're like, "Well, tell you what. Every number one we put out, Image did this, Boom, I believe, was the first to do it. And they're like, tell you what, all our number ones, if it's, we'll say it's part of our guarantee program, 100% returnable. Whatever you don't sell, and you don't have to send them back to us. You send us an affidavit of destruction, say you threw them away, and you can use them for marketing or whatever as long as you're not selling them. We're good.
Well, we talked about that in the past about, you know, having to tear off the titles and send them back to the publisher. So Image was cool with just prove that you're not selling them and we're good.
Yeah.
And that's even before, you know, the situation we're all in now, just the nature of, you know, everything that advances in technology, a lot of people are, you know, consuming comics in different ways. Not enough are consuming comics, period. Listening or talking to you. You know who you are. If you're not reading comics, you know I'm talking to you. But because of digital avenues, Comixology, you know, Marvel and DC apps, things like that, a lot of people are just, okay, I'm just going to, you know, read it on my, you know, tablet while I'm taking a crap or something like that. Yeah, I went there. This is dropping on a Wednesday, but by God, we're recording on a Friday, and we're letting the C words just fly where they may. Well, that C word anyway. Let's be careful. It's the only C word. But even before the you know shutdown and coronavirus and everything else, the comic industry wasn't strong. I mean, it hasn't been strong in a while.
Well, you could argue, there are people that argue that since the whole stuff that happened in the mid to late 90s, it's just been stumbling forward, you know, just about to fall on its face, right, but catching itself just in time.
Years ago, I interviewed Joe Field, Flying Color Comics in California, also the kind of founder, or at least credited founder, of Free Comic Book Day.
He will tell you that he stole that idea from Baskin Robbins.
He might have.
He probably did. Yeah.
Here's the thing. I think I interviewed him in 2014. I've drank a lot of beer since then, so I've forgotten that one. I need to go back and listen to that. But he said at the time that, you know, comics has always been one situation away from, you know, falling on its face and kind of a shutdown of the industry. But I tend to think more optimistically, especially with the success that, you know, a lot of movies have had, at, you know, a lot of properties, I should say, have had in theaters, is that I keep hoping, tell me if I'm right or wrong, because you're on the front lines, that, you know, somebody goes to see, you know, a comic book related movie and says, oh, well, that certainly can't be the only story for Black Panther, Wonder Woman, Bloodshot. You know, I started reading Bloodshot and, you know, reaching out to you and Tim because I saw that first trailer. I said, you know, I don't know anything about that character. The trailer looks good. Interesting, depending on, you know, I've seen the movie. I liked it. What can I say? But let me...
You're one of the rare 0.1% of the population that reads comics.
I thought you were going to say I'm one of the rare 0.1% that liked that movie. But I am. I keep hoping that, you know, because Tim and Derek used to sit up shop at the cinema on Friday and Saturday nights when there was a, you know, comic property in theaters, and, you know, he doesn't like to, you know, have his voice on the record, but maybe a thumbs up or thumbs down, maybe we could see if they had a lot of success there at the thumbs in the middle. Thumbs in the middle, ladies and gentlemen. We got a thumbs in the middle from Silent Tim. But can the comic book industry survive not just, you know, we can go back, not just coronavirus, but the overall, you know, all the other circumstances that have surrounded it for the last 25 years?
I think so. I don't know that it'll ever be healthy. But if you think about it, there's still bookstores.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot around, but there's still independent bookstores, still used bookstores, you know, tucked in Main Street, hidden in small towns.
Right.
But books still exist, and people, even though you can get any book you ever want online, and if you do, you know, 2 seconds of searching, you can find it free.
I'm not putting in that type of work. What? No, I...
And people still... There are people, and I think there always will be people, that prefer the physical part mm-hmm. of interacting with the comic book or the book.
So,
because it's different. It's a different experience.
So, for me, because I'm in complete agreement with... And I'm one of those people. So, I'm talking solely about myself, but in a... On a book, I like to, you know, this is going to sound weird, and I don't, not creepy, but I like to smell the book. You know, you can smell the paper. For a comic book, I like to turn the page, see that splash page in its entirety, in its in the full presentation that it was meant to, you know, be
you know, taken in. You don't like to have it on your phone and then
I don't have to, I don't
put your fingers on there and pinch it in or no. Move it around and then read that balloon and then move it up a little bit. And
I can't do it.
That's not reading a comic.
I've stopped. You everybody in this room will. And hey, don't come after me, government officials. There's four of us and we're all socially distanced. All right. So shut up. I forgot what I was going to say. Damn it. No. Oh, I've stopped reading comics digitally. It's all, you know, in my hands, turning pages, and it's all purchased right here at Twilight Comics. Just want to seal it up.
And we really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And I will appreciate, as soon as we are done with this conversation, I'm going to leave some money on the floor, turn around, and by magic, I'm going to turn back around, and there's going to be some comics there.
Well, Pritzker said we are allowed to sell things again. We can do deliveries and we can do pickups. So you're just doing a pickup.
Okay.
And
do you guys need someone to drive deliveries for you? I know a guy, CDL and everything.
It's a whole insurance thing, though.
I don't worry about the insurance. I got my own. Just let me know. I'll be the Uber Eats of comic books.
Well, we can talk about it.
I'm excited. I'll do it for free. Don't tell my wife. I'll do it for free. And the best part is, that's a delivery I can take my son on. I'll just throw him in the car seat in the back of the pickup truck, and we'll go. Here are your comics. Thank you very much.
You just sneak the comics onto somebody's porch.
Yeah.
You can and ding dong ditch their comics.
Oh.
It'd be like a prank, but not even a prank.
And it wouldn't be a flaming bag of poo.
Yeah.
It'd be a perfectly intact bag of comics. We're onto something. If I was technically advanced, I would put together an app. And I would be making sure that the comics could go from Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois, to the reader's homes. I'm just not that smart. It's probably why I drive a truck. This has been fun, Brian. It always is. Oh, I know. We almost got out of here without the elephant in the room. You are going to tell me the full story. Do we have time? Should we save it for another day?
Yeah, maybe we can do a truncated version of it for publication at some point. But,
okay.
Yeah.
So stay tuned, listeners. I'll be back. I'll be here in Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois. I'll be sitting down with Brian. We're going to get the redacted version of the full story of Twilight Comics. It's going to be fun. We appreciate you tuning in on all of your favorite podcast platforms. Share it with all of your friends and support your local comic book shop. Do what I did. Go to tkopresents.com. Place an order. When it gives you the option, Tim showed me. I saw visual proof of a check that TKO Studios sent to Twilight Comics, so you know that whether you select Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois, although I think on the site it's Twilight Gaming and Comics.
Oh, yeah. That's our
incorporated.
Name, yeah.
Be it Twilight Comics or a local comic shop, I can verify that your hard-earned money, TKO Studios is doing right by it.
There's actually a list of other game publishers and other graphic novel publishers that are doing the same thing.
You give me that list. We'll add it on because people that need to take a screenshot of their order at tkopresents.com, be it Twilight Comics, which is obviously my preferred, or their own local comic shop, because TKO Studios will send the brick and mortar, as it were, the proceeds that they would make if they sold that book in their store. So if you send me to an email, nerdsunitedpodcast@gmail.com, send that screenshot of the verification. I'm going to enter you into a drawing. We've got the Nerds United vault we're going to open up. We've got prizes galore. A lot of them have been filtered down right here through the doors at Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois. I'm giving back to people who've given so much to me, hours and days and a lifetime of books that I might not have time to read in my life. But I'm trying to give back, and I'm asking for your help as well. Go to tkopresents.com, place that order. Send me the verification screenshot of the local comic book shop, the brick and mortar that you chose. We'll get you entered into the raffle for some goodies from the Nerds United Prize Vault. Brian, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for sneaking me in the back door under the pretenses of darkness, the cover of darkness.
It was good talking to you again.
And we'll do it again here on Nerds United at jitterymonkey.com.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.